This is Rachel Seidman. I'm here in San Francisco, California. Today is August 19th, 2016, and I'm here with Soledad Antelada. We are doing an oral history interview for a project called Hashtag Feminism, Speaking Up and Talking Back in the Digital Age. So, Soledad, will you just start by telling me about your grandparents and where they lived? What did they do? Did you know them?
I knew some of them. Mm-hmm. So my grandparents from my mom's part of the family, mm-hmm. They were born in Argentina, mm-hmm. as me. Mm-hmm. But their parents were like from Spain. Mm-hmm. So it was like emigration from Spain, then three generations of Argentinians, and then we got back to Spain. Mm. And then I had a great grandparent that was from Turkey. Mm-hmm. But also like immigrants from Spain, like back in the days.
Okay.
Like they were all Jewish.
Okay.
So that's the part of my mom. And the other part of the family I don't know that much. So I know I had a great grandmother that was Irish, for example. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of mix.
On your dad's side.
Yeah, on my dad's side. So. So yeah, I have a lot of blood from everywhere, mm-hmm. which is good.
You were born in Argentina, and then how old were you when you moved to Spain?
So I was born in Argentina in 1977, and I moved to Spain in 1981. I was four.
Okay.
So my parents were very young, so I was born when my mom was 15.
Oh, wow.
And my father was 17. And then my mom's family, they moved to Spain because that was like a very bad time in Argentina. We were in the middle of a dictatorship. So when my parents separated, my mom and I moved to Spain where our family was already.
Okay.
And I was four.
Mm-hmm. So your dad did not go?
No, mm-hmm. My dad stayed in Argentina.
Okay, okay. And what did your mom work?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did she do?
All kinds of stuff.
Like,
yeah, very hard worker. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when I was eight, so we moved to Spain to different places for a couple of years. Like we stayed in Zaragoza for a little bit and then Madrid. And we end up in Marbella, which is a very nice place in the south by the sea.
How do you spell that?
Marbella. And I spent there the most part of my life. Mm. So I grew up there. And there, when I was eight, my stepfather came into my life. So he raised me and he adopted like the father figure, mm-hmm. and which was great for me, mm-hmm. because I grew up with a father, actually. So
And how would you describe yourself as a young girl or as a kid? What were you like?
Well, I don't know. I think I always felt I was different.
What do you mean?
Like something was missing, maybe because I came from another culture, and also I grew up in Spain, where I was very integrated, but my whole family was from Argentina, so it was a different culture at home and outside. Mm-hmm. And also, a big part of my family was in Argentina, and I lost contact with them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, I felt something was missing, maybe, or mm-hmm. I don't think that's strange, because I think there's a lot of people that feel that.
Yeah.
And I always felt that there was something else I had to do, or I had to go, or I don't know. zero conformist.
A non-conformist?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you learn, what did you see about gender roles with your parents? What lessons do you think you took from them?
That's a very strange situation because I think my family was pretty like male dominated, like patriarch, and as a Latin kind of family, that's how it is. But at the same time, I had a lot of support from my stepfather. So I was an only child too, so I don't know, maybe if I would have had a brother, it would have been different. But yeah, pretty chauvinistic. Although my mom was working the same, they were doing the same thing. They were working together. Everything was pretty equal, but male domination. But I think I had a lot of support from my stepfather, actually, in a way of. At the end of the day, you need somebody that tells you, like, you can do this, go for it. And that happened to me. That when I decided, for example, when I decided to came to the United States, he really supported me and pushed me. And that really helped me to move forward. So I was doing great in Spain. But as I told you, like, something was missing. And I always wanted to try to come here. So I said, one day I said, look, I think that I've been losing time. This is what I need to do. I feel like stuck in my life in a way. And I feel like I need to move to San Francisco. Well, it's a long story, but that's the short story. So I have those words like, stop losing time, go for it. And that really helped me.
How old were you when you said that?
31.
31.
Yeah.
So you went to high school and college in Spain?
Yeah.
Yeah. And were you...
In Marbella.
Were you a math and numbers person all
along? Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still very bad with words and... That part of art, I think that part of my brain is not functioning correctly.
But you were good with.
I was very good with math, and I was very science oriented, and I have a sense of curiosity that goes beyond anything, that is very strong in me for everything I do in life. So, I think that's a part of a good scientist and researcher. So.
So, do you remember how you got interested in all of that?
No, I think it was natural. I mean, I was in school and I was doing good with those courses. You know, it's like it came natural to me. I was struggling in another fields like history, for example, or literature, languages. But math and biology or those kinds, physics, I did pretty well. They came easy to me.
And did you get support as a girl doing those things from your teachers? Do you remember teachers who supported you? Or?
I have to say no, especially in college. But what is funny is that I didn't realize back then. So I realized like when I was older, some situations that happened made me go look back and say, well, that was because I was a girl. But I think when you're young and you're just going and you're struggling, like, growing up and you're focusing your mind some other things, you don't get that. But then when you're like older and you're already in the world and working, and you realize that there were a lot of barriers only for being a woman, especially in Spain.
Looking back, do you have an example of one of those things that now you realize?
Well, for example, I remember one story that it was, it didn't happen to me, it happened to my roommate. At that time, she was studying computer science with me, and she was turning in a project, and it was almost perfect. So she turned in the project, and the professor, the first thing the professor said to her was like, "You didn't do this alone. So I think you copied it, or somebody helped you." And in that time, I remember she came home and told me the story, and was like, "Wow, you know, that's not right. That doesn't sound like." But that the story was that, you know, it's like we forgot about it, but that got stuck in my brain, and I think that was part of a bias against women.
Mm-hmm. And what did you?
I have another example.
Yeah. Okay. Good. More.
Probably have more, but that's from the top of my mind. I had a course that it was called IA here, artificial intelligence, and I didn't pass the one test. So in Spain we had, I guess here too, those like, you can go and talk to your teacher after the exam and go over the test to see what do you fail on. So I got in one of those evaluations, and there were two teachers, and they were laughing at me all the time. Because I don't think it was on purpose, but they thought I was funny and that's it. But I don't think that's not the right context to laugh about a student. And yeah, that bothered me a lot. And actually undermined me a lot, like for continuing like studying that course, actually.
Yeah. Did you keep on?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you majored in computer science. Yeah. That was your... How many other girls or women were doing that?
Very few. Very few. In a class of maybe 100 people, we were, I don't know, 5 girls. Yeah.
And did the 5 of you sort of stick together? Did you... Were you friends?
Well, now that I think about it, kind of, yeah. Yeah. I was living with 3 of them, for example. So I think, yeah. We got stuck sticking together.
Yeah. And then after you graduated, what happened next?
I didn't graduate. I mean, I got an internship.
Internship?
Very early in my career. So I started working like second year in college or something. Third year, and the college back then was like 6 years. It wasn't like here that it's for. And I started working very early, like working a lot and doing pretty good and better every year. So I think by the end of my time in Spain, I was doing much better than any other of my colleagues. From school, actually, and that was very good for me because I didn't have a great time when I was at college, because I thought that wasn't for me, and when I started working, I realized that I was very good at that, and so I think that that's part of why I did so well, like on the work like force.
So you were kind of, is this right? You were sort of losing confidence.
Totally.
In college, but in the...
Yeah, but that was a huge difference. Once I started working, the way I was learning fast and advancing in my career was very different from me studying at college. It was very different.
And So then you worked in Spain. Where, what kind of place were you working?
I was working in a company that was a contractor for the government, for the healthcare system, and I was a programmer there.
And did you feel treated equally as a woman there?
Well, I was starting my career, so what I realized, and so I was starting my career, so and I was learning as much as I could, but I realized that was gonna be like a limit of growth. It was gonna be like, well, the way I was seeing like management, like behaving, wasn't a way that a woman can fit in, for example.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, the way they were doing business was very not for women, let's say that.
Because it was.
But there was a lot of meetings at bars or going out at night, having drinks and blah, blah, blah. So I don't think I will have fit in that kind of situation.
So then you decided.
To move here?
Is that when you came here?
I came here first, like in 1999, when I was in college, to visit a friend that was living here from Spain. And I came with my boyfriend at the time, and we were computer science students, and we decided, okay, after college we're gonna live there because it's San Francisco, you know, and technology mecca. So and then I got back there, and 10 years passed and I didn't do it. So at a point of my life that I was talking before, like talking to my father and blah blah blah, I was thinking that it was time to do that. It had always been in my head. So, and I already was 31, so I wasn't gonna do it like when I was 40, that's for sure. So I felt like I was in the limit of doing it, like for my age, you know.
The boyfriend was not in the picture anymore.
Anymore,
Yeah.
no.
So then you just moved here.
Yeah, I'm here alone. So my friend that I visited like 10 years ago was still here after 10 years, and I came here and to try for 1 year. So I got enrolled in a program at City College of San Francisco, in network security. And after a year, I got an internship. That's the story of my life repeating again. I got an internship at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, where I still am. So, and then after the internship, they hired me, so I stayed here, and I'm currently working there.
And say it again, it's Lawrence.
Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory.
Laboratory. And so you work in security, network security there.
Yeah,
Okay.
cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity. And how did you decide that that was the field you wanted to go into?
The same way I decided to study computer science, because it was the most difficult thing to do. So when I started my career in computer science, I didn't even had a computer, but I was sure I wasn't going to be a math teacher or a science teacher, so I wanted to do something else and something that was challenging to me. And I said, oh, computer science? Well, I have no idea what is that. That's why I'm gonna do it. And then for security, it was the same. I was tired of being a programmer because I think a developer, that wasn't for me in a way that is very static. I needed a little bit of more dynamic job, and security is like you don't stop. It's don't stop learning, and there's no one day that is the same as the other day, so it's perfect. And also, I thought it was the most difficult thing to do till I got into it and started studying, and realized that I could do it. So yeah, that's why I decided to go through that.
And when you like went to that program for network security, were there other women in that program?
Maybe one more or two that I remember. Yeah, not much, not many. I mean,
and so
I mean, in technology, we are a minority, as you know, but inside technology, the cybersecurity field is the worst for diversity. It's the worst. There's a lot more developers, women, coding now than before, and user designers or web developers, that kind of stuff. But in cyber, there's no women at all.
So how did it feel to you to be one of the first women going?
Well, it was hard. It was hard. I was used to the fact that I am the only woman in the room, but definitely it was harder than ever, because the stereotypes of a person working in security are very strong, and I'm the opposite to that, like on the outside.
So I'm so far away from it, I don't even know what the stereotypes are. So what's the stereotype of a cybersecurity?
Well, first of all, to be a man, and then something that is might be a little bit obsessed with computers and spend the nights like without sleeping and going through stuff or studying or trying to hack into systems. Maybe not very healthy, nor interested in social life. I think that's a stereotype. It's changing though. It's changing. And I hope I'm contributing to that.
So how did these guys, like, do you work in a big room with lots of these guys? I mean, what's your day?
No, I work in an office, so everyone has their offices.
Okay.
So cybersecurity is a very collaborative work, so you have to work alone, but with the rest of the team, because it's part of the job. So everybody collaborates. We have system administrators, people that is specialized in networks. I do penetration testing, but we need to know about all the fields. So we have a specialization, but we need to know about the other two. So.
So. Can you describe, I mean, was there actual resistance to you being there, or it was just?
I think there wasn't a resistance, but a sense of, really? Do you want to be here? Why? I noticed that a lot. Like, are you sure you want to be a computer in cybersecurity engineer? And I was pretty sure.
Yeah. Do you, I mean, looking back, it takes a lot of chutzpah, you know, to be a woman to go into computer science in the 90s, was it, when you were in college? And then...
that's my generation.
Right, and then to pursue this and all the way up to cybersecurity. And it was, for you, it was driven by this desire to do the hardest thing. Do you think that Did you see yourself connected in any way to feminism or to like the women's movement? Was that, did you see yourself benefiting from that or affected by that at all? Did you think of yourself as kind of part of the women's movement or feminism, or was this just an independent decision you were making?
I think it was an independent decision. Mm-hmm. I never thought as myself as a feminist when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, it's like I said before, when you're younger, you don't realize actually what is going on. It's like you're building in your life and your character. So what I always, I can tell you this, I was always like admired by strong women,
mm-hmm.
that they like they will go out in the world and do their thing and succeed in their careers or whatever they were doing as women, especially the ones that didn't have much help.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were coming not from rich families or they didn't have like support. I was always admired.
Do you remember specific women that you admired?
Yeah, you're gonna laugh at me, but I always like it. I always looked up at Madonna, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that she was a great, I mean, I think that way now, and I think that way when I was 10 years old. So I don't know, that means something. I always admired that strength in a woman,
mm-hmm.
like taking the world, like, and doing it, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when
and also I was missed those kind of role models. I mean, there were not much that I could look up to, like. Not even in my family or in my environment, or in the newspaper, you know. It's like now I think, especially in the last few years, you can see that a lot more, which is awesome, but back in the day you couldn't. So
so when did you start to get this idea about starting an organization called Girls Can Hack, or an initiative called that?
That started like a few years ago. I started Girls Can Hack two years ago. I always thought that I had to do something because I was the only, I always had this thought. If I don't do it, who's going to do it? Because I'm the only one here. I don't see anyone around, you know,
mm-hmm.
like any other woman. So that's why I decided to do that. And I was, well, I don't have much time, but I'm going to try to do something,
mm-hmm.
at least. And I put together a group that is called Girls Can Hack, and is trying to support women that want to go in the technology field. Especially in cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not everyone would say that they needed to do something for other women. They might just follow their own career and, you know, make their own path and say other people can follow me if they want. So why do you think you felt the need to make it to support other people?
Because who's gonna do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I also, I missed that, like when I was like growing up as a computer scientist. I hope I had that. My life would have been much more, like much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I have a sense of a duty to do it, in a way,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And so, I know that it's very beneficial to have role models and people to look up to and to have a sense of belonging, you know, it's like, so, and this field in this career, that's very difficult to achieve for a woman. So, I mean, I'm just only hoping that I can do something for it to change, and the next generation can have like a smooth path, like to choose this as a career.
So what does the group actually do?
I do different things, time permitting. So I did a couple meetings where I talk, and I try to bring the cybersecurity world down to earth, so people, so women see that it's not actually that difficult, and especially that if I could do it, they can do it. It's just go ahead and do it and study and work. And so I do meetings, I talk to women about that, about how is it to be a woman in the field. That especially I put a lot of emphasis in the fact that there's a lot of jobs right now, for there's a lot of demand, and women are missing out. I mean it's like there's a gold mine over here, come get it. And then I go to panels and I represent Girls Can Hack, and I'm very happy this last year and the last couple of panels I've been in, there were a lot more women in the room. So
you think this is changing? You're noticing changes?
Yeah, I have noticed in the last couple of years, especially the last year. In cybersecurity, first of all, it's like a sexy feel now, because it's all over the news and people is more and more curious and they want to get into the field, so there's more women because of that. Second of all, there's a lot of women doing great things for women. I don't think I have seen that in my life before, like in the media, you know, so that's a lot of support for all kinds of movements about women. So I think that it's making a difference. The fact that Hillary Clinton is like a presidential candidate, I think that's having a lot of weight, like on the world, focusing more on women and noticing us and like taking us into account. I really have felt that way this last year.
Hmm. Can you give me an example of where you've noticed that or where you've seen that playing out?
I have noticed that I work for the government, and I think there's a shift towards women that I haven't seen before. I think there's a lot more of support, and I really feel that it's a great time to be a woman right now.
So what is that look like? What is the government doing that's different?
Supporting more diversity, I think. And it's a feeling, you know. So those, when you are a woman working in a men's world, you cannot tell like examples of things that happen, because everything's very settled. So it's not like, yes, I came to my workplace today and this happened. You know, it's like feelings and ways of treating people and ways of doing procedures at work, protocols and stuff. I think some of those things are changing, and they're being more open to a women culture than before.
So what are your hopes for Girls Can Hack? What are you hoping to?
Well, the first thing I hope is that my organization grows and somebody take over. So, and you know, that I would love to keep it going enough so it takes over, it takes off and gets its own life as an entity. And I don't know, what I feel is that I would love to get more and more women interested in what I'm doing. And actually, because it's a great career, and I really, really believe that women are great for that. Because cybersecurity is, you have to have a lot of technical skills, but there's a lot of intuition in it too, and you have to apply your smarts in a way that sometimes women, they do it like very well. So I think it's women are great cyber engineers. So,
Have you, now that you've started doing this, are there other women? Like, I've seen organizations, you know, I think there's Girls Can Code or something like that,
yeah,
and Black Girls Code,
yeah,
and other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have connections with them? Are you sort of part of a bigger network of those kinds of organizations?
Not really. I mean, they are doing their thing, I'm doing my thing, and I think it's complementary. As I told you before, cybersecurity is a field inside technology. So you have to have a set of, I mean, if you go and code, you can be a developer. But if you want to be a cybersecurity, you have to go and code, and you have to go and have system administration skill, and you have to know about networks. So I think that complements the work I'm doing, and I think it's awesome. It's great. I mean, I wouldn't cover the whole thing. And there's a lot of movements about women supporting another women in technology. I've seen them like in event. I go to all kinds of events, and I get to know a lot of people, and some of them are working for those organizations, some of them are supporting, some of them are affiliated, and and also the Bay Area, we are all in the Bay Area, so it's pretty small. So I think we kind of know everybody here, you know.
Is there anything that I should ask you about that we haven't talked about, or that you want to talk about?
I don't know.
Trying to think. If Hillary Clinton wins, what do you think will, do you think that will make a big difference in the world of cybersecurity, or your, or women in cybersecurity, or?
Yes.
What do you think?
I think it's gonna be it's gonna make a big difference in women in general. I have talked to people, and not everybody thinks that's gonna be the case, but I really believe it. I have an intuition about it very strong. And I think it's already happening. It's just gonna be a lot of power about the conception that we have about a woman. It's not because she's gonna be a president, because there's a lot, few female presidents in the world right now, or there have been, but she's giving support, she's like talking about women a lot, and she didn't have to. I mean, there's been a lot of presidential campaigns of women that didn't do that. And I think Hillary Clinton is playing that card very, very often, which is great. I think it's a great thing for us. So I think she's gonna continue in that direction, and I think things are gonna change for us. And finally, we will get some of the stuff done about what we deserve, you know, like equality in some things, like paid salaries.
Do you see pay inequity in your field? Is that something you
Yeah, there's
see
a,
as
I
a
mean there's
problem?
a statistics about it. So yeah, there's a lot. There's a misconception in technology, I think, that a woman is not gonna do the same job, or it's not gonna do it like that good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So yeah, there's a tendency to pay less to women,
mm-hmm.
or women, they don't get like promotions that easily, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that change.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, definitely I see that.
Mm-hmm.
I see it. It takes us like longer to get things, and sometimes we have to work like 3 times more, you know,
mm-hmm.
and stay in the same level, because you cannot like get away with a good career if you don't do that.
Mm.
I also have seen women that they had to work so hard that they became like pretty hard, pretty tough. And people are kind of scared of them, and they call them names, and I'm not gonna repeat, but you know what I mean. And I've seen those. But I don't mind really, because I know what it takes to get to a high profile management job, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty hard, so there's ways of defending yourself, for example. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I try to be the same person all the time and not to change much. But there are some other people that cannot do it. That means like it's pretty hard for us.
Okay. Well, how many, when you have a Girls Can Hack meeting now, about how many people will come?
Well, they start like, maybe at the beginning were like 15,
mm-hmm.
or 20. And the last one I did, there were 100 and something.
Wow.
But there were men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We were talking about cybersecurity, and I got to the place and I thought there were going to be like 10 people,
mm-hmm.
and then I saw those not many people, and the organization started to pull out chairs from some other places because people were standing up, and I was happy, and there were a lot of women in the room, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's changing, but I when I started, like, the first meeting, I think we were 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And these were women who were already in the field, or they were just learning, they were interested in going
well,
into the field?
Well, mostly students,
mm-hmm.
or, yeah, some of them, they were already in technology, but in entry levels,
mm-hmm.
trying to decide what to do with their lives and their careers,
mm-hmm.
and trying to see if they were interested in cyber, but there were a lot of students,
mm-hmm.
like in computer science, that they were trying to decide to
mm-hmm.
Where to go and look for a job after graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I hear Girls Can Hack, I always think of that, those novels, what was it, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and did you read those?
Yeah, and that's funny that you mentioned that, because in my first meeting, I think on my slides, one of the slides was the picture of that girl
from
the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember. And I was saying something like, well, if you're a girl or a woman that is working in cybersecurity, remember that you don't have to look like this.
That's
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, because this was that dark character, like very troubled and traumatized, and with a lot of tattoos all over the place. Mm. And I don't know, that's not the image that I want to show them. You know? So I was like, this is a movie. I am the reality, okay? Yeah. That was funny. Yeah, that's in my doc slides that I have.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. That was great.
No, thank you for the interview.
Yeah.
Thanks.